The details of the case are still ongoing, but basically this woman had been advertising herself as a naturopath. The patient, the mother, had decided to see this woman for naturopathic advice on the baby's eczema. Now, it emerges in following that advice, the naturopath had told the mother to avoid all medication and had put the mother and infant on a restrictive diet, a fasting regime, basically. So the end result of that was that a month after this treatment, the baby presented to Westmead Hospital in a very severely malnourished state with numerous infections and numerous other complications.
And what exactly is naturopathy?
Right, so this is a bit of a complicated issue, I guess. So it's a bit like Chinese medicine in that it's a system of medicine. So most people think of naturopathy and they think of herbs, nutrients. But really what naturopathy is defined by is a principle of practice. And basically, naturopathy encourages the body's own healing mechanisms. So when herbal medicines are used, for example, they may not be used in a sense to override a disease, but actually support the body's own innate ability to heal itself. So you see a lot of immune supports, supportive herbs. You might see a lot of corrective diet and nutrition. So it works really well in conjunction with things like conventional medicine in serious cases like this woman had actually come to see. But it does certainly have its limitations as well.
So it sounds like a lot of alternative medicines where it's not really a straightforward checklist of things you do. It's a variety of things depending on the practitioner.
Yeah, and it's a bit like medicine in that sense. So, you know, you don't define a general practitioner by their use of pharmaceutical drugs or certain therapies. You define them by the way that they practice. So this has made it a little bit difficult because naturopathy in Australia is very well patronised. There's about 10% use in the general population. In conditions like cancer, it goes up to about 16%. And because of that, it's become, I guess, a bit of a recognised brand. And because it's completely unprotected and unregulated, it's become a bit of a dumping ground for, you know, people with no qualifications, people with fake qualifications. There are numerous cases in Sydney of deregistered doctors, for example, resurfacing as naturopaths. So it's become a bit of a dump, you know, the dumping ground of alternative medicine because people have assumptions on what it is. It's a recognised brand. It's got a lot of support amongst the Australian public, but there are absolutely no rules behind its use. You could be a naturopath tomorrow if you wanted to be.
So what sort of training would we like to see for these naturopaths?
The government, various governments have recommended that naturopathy is taught in the university sector since the 1970s. So the first university degree started in 1996. It's a four-year degree. It's got the same level of biochemistry, pathophysiology, differential diagnosis as you would see in any conventional allied health profession. But there's also, you know, you can buy a course for $20 on the internet as well. So it's and you don't even need to do that. So this is the kind of level that we're talking about. The Victorian government suggested that 4 year was really a minimum requirement. 4 year education has existed in Australia for nearly 20 years now. So I think that's the level we can reasonably expect.
And do we know how many naturopaths out there are actually trained?
No, we don't. And this is the problem with unregistered professions. So in Australia, there's anywhere between 3,500 and 15,000 naturopaths. So depending on how you get that figure. So the Australian Bureau of Statistics says 3,500. We know that the Australian Bureau of Statistics tends to get health professions wrong all the time, usually by a factor of two. So, you know, even when they talk about medical practitioners, we know there's actually twice as many medical practitioners as the ABS says, for various reasons, you know, because this is based on what you write in the census form. And if you look at association membership, it's about 15,000, but there are people that are members of two associations, for example, so there might be a bit of double counting. Realistically, there's probably around 7,000 to 10,000 naturopaths in Australia.
This recent case has brought up questions about regulation. Mm-hmm. What sort of regulation are people proposing or saying that they would like to see?
Well, there's no regulation at the moment beyond negative licensing, which is basically means that, you know, once this woman's been found, if she is found guilty, that's, you know, we need to realise that the case hasn't been heard yet. But if a case like this, the practitioner was found guilty, they could be banned from practice. That's the only regulation that currently exists. It still requires something very bad to happen in the first place. What's been proposed and was actually first recommended in Parliament in 1928, so it's been a long time coming. There have been reports in Western Australia in the 60s, Victoria in the 70s, New South Wales in the 90s, suggesting that naturopaths should be regulated in a statutory regulatory scheme. So a bit like what we see for medicine, dentistry, physiotherapy, nursing, chiropractic. So the Victorian government actually started this process in 2005. The New South Wales government actually did a report and suggested that they should observe the Victorian developments and probably follow them in 2006. And the health minister, the current health minister, actually stood up in parliament and said that naturopaths should be regulated at that time. South Australia did a very similar report. What happened was that state-based registration went to national registration. So those documents are still tabled at the national regulator. They're just not really being looked at the moment. So really what most people are asking for, and there's broad support amongst this from the naturopaths themselves, from the Public Health Association. The Australian Medical Association opposes it, but they really represent only 25% of their profession. And when you look at the surveys of medical practitioners themselves, they support it. There's broad support for basically giving naturopaths the same regulatory requirements that you have for any other health profession.
So that would be things like training and, fines and removal of licences.
And this case brings up a really, really pertinent example of this too, because this woman had no naturopathic training at all. She had a massage certificate, so she was registered as a massage therapist but advertising as a naturopath, getting rebates for naturopathic treatment by using her massage insurance rebates. The last workforce survey done in 2004, it's quite old now, said that there were 10% of naturopaths practicing out there with no qualifications at all. So it is a big issue. The other issue with this woman had been that she had a history of dubious treatments before and actually even been through the legal system and trialled for these treatments before. So any probity checking for getting into a registration scheme would have picked these sort of red flags up. So, one of the things about registration is it has a bit of a lower bar to action than something like negative licensing. In negative licensing, you nearly have to kill someone. You have to do something egregious like sexual abuse to actually get on the radar of the regulator to actually be banned from practice. Registration boards tend to have a more educative approach. So they pick something up early, they can either correct it, and if it's not corrected, they can take escalated action. So there's no doubt in my mind that registration actually would have stopped something like this from happening.
So the Australian Medical Association, their argument is that if you register these practices, it legitimises them. If we're training people for 4 years and then registering, going through this registration process, I kind of see that as a form of legitimisation, even though there may not be the data or the studies associated behind it to back it up.
Yeah, and look, this is a common argument that, regulation equals legitimisation, and it really comes from what used to happen with regulation in the, early 19th century, early 1900s, basically, where regulation was a stamp of approval by the government which would allow practitioners to have a scope of practice that was restricted to other practitioners. Now, since the Hilmer Report in the 1990s, that's been forbidden, and regulation can only be done in the public interest. So if you look at what happens in Australia now, there is no scope restriction. There's only 3 restricted acts in Australia, 4 in South Australia. Most practitioners can do pretty much anything that they want, as long as they've got the scope of training to do so. So that legitimation doesn't really come to play. You have a profession that's very, very highly used by the Australian public. So there's about 10% of use. So you could make an argument that in the eyes of the public, this profession is already legitimised. They just have that legitimacy without accountability or responsibility. So certainly we can argue about the merits of naturopathy being a legitimised profession, but I don't think regulation actually plays a part in that.
New South Wales does have a code of conduct for unregistered health practitioners. Where does naturopathy fit in under that?
Well, interestingly, this was actually developed to get a naturopath from stopping practice. There was a gentleman called, a naturopath called Paul Parrott in Newcastle who had faked his own qualifications. He'd had a history of fraud, armed robbery, all sorts of nefarious issues in his past. And he was selling dubious cancer treatments at exorbitant prices to patients in Newcastle and then threatening them when they refused to pay. So the member for Newcastle, Matthew Morris, actually brought this up. They tried to get him to practice. His association, ATMS, refused to actually remove him from practice because they were worried that he would sue them if they did that. So basically they developed what they call a negative licensing law. And this is a statutory code of conduct for unregistered health practitioners. So anyone practicing the health service in New South Wales and any organisation now. So they changed the law after the Australian Vaccination Network. Practicing any form of health services has to abide by the statutory code of conduct. And if you breach it, you can actually be issued a prohibition order. And that prohibition order basically means that once you've been found to have done something very bad, you can have a prohibition order, which is a criminal breach of criminal law to actually breach. So if you're banned from practicing as a health practitioner moving forward, you're still a health practitioner, that becomes a criminal offence. We've done an analysis of this, and this is certainly an improvement over what was there before, but it's not a replacement for statutory registration. It doesn't have those proactive protective mechanisms. It doesn't stop untrained practitioners from doing what they do. It doesn't pick up lower incidences like fraud or even the kind of treatments that this naturopath had been treating. It really requires someone to nearly die or someone to be raped or something equally egregious to actually happen before the action can occur. So, it certainly offers a level of protection that was there before, but it's certainly not a replacement for proper regulation. And when you look at the report that actually instigated this, recommendation 4 of that report was beyond these requirements, the regulation of naturopaths should be considered. So it's actually been sitting in the New South Wales government for a long time as well.
And what about the Australian Register for Naturopaths and Herbalists? Where does that fit into this?
So because the action on registration has taken so long, the profession has sort of banded together to create a voluntary self-register. This has been the result of inaction rather than sort of something that's actually designed to be a solution. It's still a voluntary scheme. It still requires people to actually voluntarily join the scheme to be accountable.
If you're not registered, you're not really joining up with the scheme.
Exactly.
If you've got no training, you're not joining up with
exactly,
the scheme.
Exactly, yeah. And that's really the key crux of the issue. If you don't want to register, you can still call yourself a naturopath, but there's no way of actually finding out if that person is qualified, and there's no way of actually holding you accountable. And Arona, for example, has received numerous complaints, and all they can really do at the moment is pass them on to government, where they're essentially ignored.
So if someone does have a complaint against a naturopath, and say, for example, in this case we're talking about, where we've had a child who is malnourished, what courses of legal action are available to individuals who have been wronged?
Well, this is one of the problems. So you can go to the Healthcare Complaints Commission, and I'd always recommend that actually does occur. But the Healthcare Complaints Commission usually reserve their action, I guess, as you will, for the more serious complaints. They're resource constrained for a variety of reasons. And so that's why the more egregious cases tend to move forward. But they don't have the capacity to, within the naturopathic profession, to sort of deal with some of the more minor issues, which I think are still quite serious, overcharging, perhaps questionable treatment, those sorts of things. You can go to the professional associations, but you've got to find out what association that naturopath might be a member of. This woman, for example, wasn't a member of any association and had no training. You couldn't really use that avenue there. There are, some options in civil law that you could perhaps pursue, but that, what we find is in many cases where a patient gets better after that, they don't want to prolong the pain by going through what is a very essentially expensive, drawn-out and quite emotionally draining civil procedure. So when you look at what happened in Victoria when they regulated Chinese medicine, for example, the complaints against Chinese medicine practitioners went up tenfold. And this wasn't because people had all of a sudden more to complain about in Chinese medicine. It just meant that there was actually a one-stop shop for Chinese medicine complaints. So we know that most complaints go unheard in an unregulated profession like naturopathy, even with these things like negative licensing in place. So this is really why we're pushing for a statutory scheme, because it forces all practitioners to be accountable. It makes it easier for patients to actually have that accountability of their practitioner. And the evidence that's actually been shown from the Chinese medicine registration, for example, there's been numerous papers published in the Australian Health Review, in Australian New Zealand Journal of Public Health, for example, actually analysing what happened. It's been unequivocally a public health success. So, the Australian Medical Association, not just them, a lot of other people are also using this legitimacy argument, but when you look at the actual evidence, regulation of complementary therapies internationally is actually an unequivocal public health success. And this is why the World Health Organization, for example, encourages all member nations to actually regulate CAM practitioners within their communities.